Welcome to Lunchtime Classics on 90.5 FM WUOL. Broadcasting live from WUOL's performance studio on 4th Street in downtown Louisville. Now, here's your host, Alan Brandt.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome to another live Lunchtime Classics here at Classical 90.5. We've only got two more programs before our season ends, and I'm very delighted to have this artist with me today as she makes her second appearance during the season. And I think it's a little misleading to say she's an old friend of the station because she's only in her 20s, I'm sure. But she's been playing the harp since she was 8 years old. She started playing piano and violin at the age of 2 before that. And, well, she's been nonstop ever since, winning national awards, and she'll soon be competing this June in the highest division of the American Harp Society National Competition in Chicago. She's also available for weddings and other events, and she is so in demand in this region. Let's welcome back harpist Lisa Spurlock.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back here in the studio. It's been, I think, a few months since I was in, and actually I think the last two performances were both during the holiday season around Christmas time, and they featured all Christmas music. So it's great to be back and to be playing some non-holiday music for you today. Today's program will feature three pieces from the competition that Alan had mentioned, as well as a few other pieces. The American Harp Society hosts an annual competition, well, actually every 3 years, and I'll be competing in the highest division of that in Chicago in a few weeks. So three of the pieces on today's program will be the required selections from that competition. So I'd like to begin with a piece titled Introduction and Variations on Themes from Bellini's Opera Norma. This piece was written by Eli Parrish Alvars. Alvars was an English harpist and composer. He was born in 1808 and died in 1849. And during his time, it was very popular for composers to write pieces, specifically a theme and variations, for solo instruments based on operatic themes, either from that century or previous times. The composers would take the music from certain sections of operas and sort of condense them for a single instrument and then add embellishments or other phrases to make it fit for the instrument that they were composing for. And in this case, Alvars, who was writing for solo harp, used a collection of themes from Bellini's opera Norma, which was first written and performed in around 1831. So this particular piece consists of an introduction, a theme, three variations, an andante, and a finale, which covers quite a variety of different musical excerpts and different moods from the opera Norma. And it is one of the requirements from the competition that I will be doing. So this is Introduction and Variations on Themes from Bellini's Opera Norma.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next piece I would like to play for you is by a composer named Erik Satie, who was born in 1866 and died in 1925. Satie was a French composer who is not quite as well known as some of the other famous composers that we often hear of. He wrote a total of about 70 works, many of which are for piano solo. And I would like to play for you a harp transcription of a piano piece that he wrote in 1888 from a collection called Three Gymnopédies. I will play a harp transcription of Gymnopédie number 1. And in 1911, Debussy had also taken two of the three pieces in this collection and orchestrated and conducted them. They've also been done on numerous other solo instruments, including classical guitar, and in this case on harp, although they were originally written for piano solo. And if you notice, the style of this piece is quite different from the opera themes that we just heard. It has much more of a late classical or modern sound to it, even especially towards the end of the piece, as Satie uses some different harmonies and sort of experiments with different chords. He was famous for being a rather eccentric, both personally and his musical compositions have an eccentric style, because he followed no formal musical principles or styles, even those in the era that other composers were doing at his time. And he was also known to sort of build his musical compositions based on literary or even architectural works that he used as an inspiration for his compositions. So this eccentric style is clear in this piece, because it brings, begins with a very tonal and beautiful melody and then ends rather abruptly with some very interesting and unresolved harmonies. So even, you know, it starts at the beginning with this gorgeous tone and then towards the end almost has sort of a modern sound to it. So this is Gymnopédie number 1 from Satie's collection of Three Gymnopédies, originally written for piano in 1888. Thank you. This next piece I'd like to play for you is even much more modern than the one we just heard. It's a three-movement sonata written for harp by Ernst Krenek in 1955. Krenek was born in Vienna in 1900. He immigrated to the U.S. in 1937, where he taught at various places around the country, and then ended up settling in California, where he eventually died in 1991. His works encompass a variety of modern 20th century styles, including the 12-tone system, which is a style of music that is based on a specific ordering of the 12 pitches in a chromatic scale. For example, it would be where a composer would use all 12 different pitches in a certain order before reusing any of them again, which creates a very abstract but complex sound. And modern music, in my opinion, is best described by being compared to modern visual art. Many people are familiar with the works of modern and contemporary artists such as Picasso or Kandinsky. And over time, we've come to understand and really appreciate these new styles of art. And modern visual art sort of breaks all the rules, if you will, that were set before it through the use of contrasting colors and shapes and sort of a scrambling of the image that's being used, if there's an image at all. And it can even create what some would consider sort of an ugly or tense appearance. However, it's just a new form of art. And the same is true for modern music, which was developing the same time that the visual arts were evolving so much. Composers were breaking all the rules of tonality and chord structure that were always used, and they started experimenting with new and oftentimes dissonant sounds. And in music, the term dissonance refers to a sound that is unstable and requires a resolution. For example, I'll play for you an interval of a seventh, which is seven notes apart on the harp, which is a C to a B. And this is considered a dissonant sound and would need to resolve to an octave, which is a C to a C, which is consonants. So seventh and an octave. And without being resolved, the dissonant pitches can really be considered ugly or even unpleasant to the ear. So modern music, in just one of its features, oftentimes will actually use these dissonant pitches and deliberately leave them unresolved as a new form of art because it was something that was never done before. And it's very similar to the contrasting colors or patterns that are in the modern visual arts as well. And it's especially unique hearing modern 20th century music on the harp also, because the harp has always been regarded as sort of a beautiful or angelic instrument, and not many people would expect to hear 20th century music on the harp. However, there are quite a few pieces out there that are from the 20th century written specifically for the harp. And although this next piece I will play has a particular a modern or an atonal style, it still follows the traditional sonata form, with the first movement having an exposition, a development, and a recapitulation, as well as it follows the traditional tempos for each of the three movements. Sonata generally has a fast or lively first movement, followed by a slow second movement, and then ends with an even faster third movement, all of which was done in this particular piece, even though it seems to break all the other rules set by former classical composers. So this is a three-movement sonata for harp by Ernst Krenek, and it is also another one of the requirements on the harp competition I'll be performing for in a few weeks. Thank you.
If you just joined us, we've been listening to a live performance in Classical 90.5's performance studio of Lisa Spurlock, harp, as she performed the work of Krennic, which is an amazing piece. I've never heard it before, Lisa. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Now, the Krennic and the two other works before it.
One of the other works before it.
The first piece
today is on the competition, as well as the Krennic, and then the final piece on today's program as well.
Was that your choice, or do you choose from what they have?
Yeah, it's required by the competition board. It's the highest division, which is the Young Professional Division of the American Harp Society National Competition that they have every 3 years, and they require three pieces, and everyone has to play the same pieces. You have to make a CD recording and submit it to them and then be accepted to the finals. So I'm excited and honored to be there. I just found out a couple weeks ago that I'm in the finals. So
how many people are participating, do you know?
I believe they only select about 10 finalists from around the country. It's actually open to other harpists from other parts of the world as long as they're a member of the American Harp Society.
Mm-hmm. So, but you bring your own harp too, right?
You can, or you can actually use one that they provide,
which
I'll be doing because I don't want to drive my harp to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the harp is one of those instruments. It's like the cello. It's too big to put in the overhead compartment.
Yes, it is.
It's not like a piano where you go to a piano competition, you don't bring your own piano, obviously. But that's good for them to do that. What are the ways that help an artist when being in a harp competition? What are the judges looking for?
They're looking for a little bit of everything. You are judged on stage presence, so how well, you don't want to trip and fall on your way out to the harp. And they judge on stage presence, on musical phrasing, on technique, of course, on accuracy of notes, and just overall performance as well.
So I would imagine that after hearing the same work over and over again from different artists, that the stage presence becomes more of an issue because they've heard the work before. It might get a little boring for the judge. So if you come out and dazzle them,
right,
visually too, along with your performance, then that might account for something.
That's definitely true. After hearing, an entire day's worth of these same three pieces over and over, it can kind of all run together. So stage presence would play a big role in that, as well as, I think, musical interpretation, because each of these pieces, especially the first one that I played today, is so open for a personal artist's interpretation of what they want to do with it and what tempo they want to play and what phrasing they want to take.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that you are in demand as a teacher for both harp and piano, and also very popular with events, weddings, and the like around this area. A question that just occurred to me while you were playing Krennic, you could make a comfortable living doing what you do now. Why play Krennic and Bellini variations?
My next door neighbor asked me the same question when she hears me practicing that piece all the time. I think as an artist, and that's one of the things that I was going to talk about for this next piece I'm going to play. I want to sort of keep a wide variety of open of what kind of music is available for the harp and just in music in general. I think so many people think of classical music or, non-rock music, I'll put it in that category, as always a beautiful or relaxing or peaceful sound, which it is in so many cases. And I think 20th century music has just broken out of that and broken all the boundaries for the same way that the visual arts have. It was at one time when people would look at Picasso's work and thought it was horrible. And, he just threw a bunch of colors on a page. But, it's the same kind of thing with a piece like the Krennic, because, you can say, oh, he just played a bunch of random notes on the harp. But there is an art form to it. And as a harpist, I just want to kind of stretch, everyone's knowledge of what the instrument can do. So I like to play a variety of different pieces. And, of course, there's all the beautiful classical music as well, and there's the jazz. But 20th century harp music, it's very interesting. I mean, it's just very different from a lot of other ones because it's difficult to make the instrument sound ugly. And it's an art form in itself to do that.
Well, I really admire your desire to stretch not only your repertoire, but your performance abilities, because some of that can looks pretty challenging.
Yes, it is.
Well, you have a wonderful website. I know it's newly revamped, lisaspurlock.com, and that's Spurlock with a S-P-U-R and then L-O-C-K, with new photos and all your biography information and how people can get you as a teacher and at their events, but also you're represented too online, so you could do a Google search for Lisa Spurlock and you can find her that way. But you're a busy woman, aren't you?
Yes, very busy. I've got, I think, about 62 private students right now of both harp and piano, and then practicing for this competition has just done a lot. it requires just to be ready for it, about 4 to 5 hours of practice each day, and then when you put that on top of teaching for 8 to 10 hours a day, that's 14 hours of music nonstop. So it's a lot of work.
Well, we're really glad to have you back after your delightful Christmas concert, which, by the way, a lot of that's on her CD, which you can get at her website. But this is it's a wonderful different side that we've heard from you since December, so it's great to have you here, Lisa.
Krennic is very different from Silent Night, this is true.
Just a bit. Well, let's go back to the music as you are listening to Classical 90.5, and this is Lunchtime Classics. Let's again welcome Lisa Spurlock, harp.
Thank you. This next piece I put on today's program, I did it just for fun. As I was mentioning with Alan, my goal as a performer, or at least when possible, is to always play a variety of music in different genres so more people can become familiar with the diversity of styles that the harp is actually capable of. And so far today, we heard an Italian opera-inspired harp solo, a late classical or modern but tonal piano selection transcribed for harp, and a 20th century three-movement sonata that more or less tried to make the harp sound ugly. So now I would like to play an Afro-Cuban jazz dance solo written by a French harpist. It's from a collection of dances written for the harp with optional percussion by the French harpist Bernard Andres. The collection includes four different dances that are each defined by a unique rhythm. There's the mambo, the reggae, the samba, and the rumba. And today I would like to play for you the mambo. So this specific dance, as I mentioned, is an Afro-Cuban genre and was developed in the early 1940s. It's usually performed with voice trumpets and different percussion instruments such as the conga or bongo drum. So it's rather unique to hear it as a harp solo. So this is the mambo written for harp by Bernard Andres. Thank you. Thank you. I would like to close the program today with the final piece that is required for the harp competition. It is also written by a French harpist, and a composer is named Carlos Salcedo. Salcedo was a very famous and very talented harpist who even had developed his own method of harp technique. His works tend to have characteristics of both the Romantic and modern styles of music. And one of the great features about pieces that are written by composers who are also harpists is that they know the instrument so well, having played themselves, that they can really stretch the boundaries and show off all the possibilities of the harp. And this piece is certainly no exception. Its technical difficulty almost borders on the impossible, but it still remains playable. So, and again, I think this is only the case because the harp technique was understood so well by the composer, who was also a harpist, that he could include practically everything the harp is capable of without stepping over its limits as a solo instrument. So this is Ballade, Opus 28, by Carlos Salcedo. Thank you.
Didn't sound difficult. But if you were here in studio, you would have known. That was beautiful. And Carlos Salcedo.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Famous harpist.
Well, we are live in the studio here at Classical 90.5 in the performance studio, and we just enjoyed an hour of Lisa Spurlock harp. And we're wanting you to bring back the trophy from Chicago. Next.
Well, the winner of the competition, actually, their trophy is, they get a monetary award, but they also are the American Harp Society's sponsored concert artist for 2 years, so they actually send you on a concert tour.
Excellent.
For 2 years. So it's something to aspire for.
Well, we'll be rooting for you.
Thank you.
This
is true.
Well, next season when you come back, right? Hint, wink, wink, you can tell us all about it. Again, lisaspurlock.com, you can find out all about her background. Already at a young age, so accomplished, and we're very lucky to have her back again once again. Again, thank you, Lisa. Go to our website, wuol.org, and click on Lunchtime Classics to see the rest of our season for the Wednesday live performances. Andrew High was our engineer today. Thanks all for coming, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.